Sparkling and exciting edition of The Thought Police, the greatest podcast ever, brought to you this week by NordVPN, which is the good place for an online experience. But we'll come back to that a little bit later on. Kevin O'Sullivan is here. I'm Mike Graham. I suppose we have to talk about the drama.
The psychodrama
at the top of the Tory party between Boris, I'm not fucking going quietly, Johnson, and Rishi, yes you fucking are, Sunak.
I mean, it's sort of ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, for me, it's a comedy, and the biggest comedy element of it is this ridiculous.
They think we take it seriously.
The Privileges Committee,
yes,
bunch of pompous assholes,
yeah,
who are now going round because we're recording this one day before they deliver their official verdict, but we know they've decided that Boris Johnson deliberately lied and misled the House about Partygate. They're going around, so Boris Johnson is a kangaroo court, it's biased, it was a stitch-up. Other MPs are saying the same. And the fucking Privileges Committee, Harriet Harperson and her mates, are going around saying, if you say that, we will punish you. You'll be banished from Parliament as well. What they're doing, Harriet, they're exercising their right to free speech. If they want to say your fucking poxy little kangaroo court is a kangaroo court, this is Great Britain and they can say it. Fucking believable.
I know, it is ridiculous. Isn't it?
It is a kangaroo court. It's a joke.
Of course it is. And also, the whole fucking Palace of Westminster is a joke.
It's a joke.
Full of people who don't do their fucking jobs, who think that we should in some way bow and fucking scrape to them. You know, that use all of our money badly, wrongly, and with fucking impunity, and who expect us to just keep giving them a fucking living.
Yeah.
And then go, oh, I'm in high dudgeon now, so I'm not going to stand for Parliament. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Off. Fuck off then.
You know.
Poor old Uxbridge.
Go get a real fucking job. See how you do.
It's the people of Uxbridge I feel sorry for. They've lost Boris Johnson.
I mean, and he's such a great sort of champion for Uxbridge.
Yeah, but he's always talking about Uxbridge, isn't he?
Talks about nothing else.
It's his favourite topic.
You know what we should
do? Lovely Uxbridge. Has he ever been there?
No, he hasn't. He doesn't live there. He never talks about it. I don't think if you went through fucking Hansard, you'd probably find he's never mentioned Uxbridge once in all the speeches he's made in fucking Parliament.
Absolutely. So this, the Palace of Westminster, as you quite rightly say, it's a fucking great joke with their stupid little fucking rules and regulations. Yeah. And we're all supposed to go, ooh, he broke the rules of Parliament, as if we give a flying fuck. Right. If he's guilty of this offence, what is it that he went and said? Well, actually, I didn't really know I was breaking any rules. Hand on heart,
also,
I had a drink, but it was no big deal. That's his crime,
right.
And we're supposed to fucking treat him like a serial killer.
Because most MPs never lie, do they?
Yeah.
They never tell lies.
Look, this is the thing. The thing about, I was thinking about this morning. So politicians, he lied. He lied. Well, politicians, by definition, they lie. All of them.
Yeah.
Because think about it.
In their manifesto.
Look, you've got the truth, right? Politicians zone in on the truth and they twist it to their own bias, to their own advantage. So by definition, they're fucking lying all the time.
Because they are.
They use the truth as a sort of malleable commodity by which they sell their policies.
Well,
they're professional liars.
Well, here's an example
liars.
Of it, right? Keir Starmer, who's known as Captain Flip-Flop now, right? It's not flip-flop, it's fucking lying. When you say, I'm going to do something, and then you don't do it, you do the opposite, that means you told a lie, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course
you told a fucking lie, and now you're not doing it.
I mean,
so you're a liar.
So Harriet and the gang, they seem to think that we, the people of Britain, want Westminster, that our parliament, to be like fucking Sunday school.
Yeah.
We don't, actually.
No.
This is the most pathetic spectacle I've ever seen. But Boris Johnson, I mean, he is a liar. He's always fucking lying. But it's no big deal. And the way they fucking defenestrated him. Not only, you know, he lost
because they hate him, don't they?
He lost his job as Prime Minister, and now they're kicking him when he's down. They're killing him when he's down.
Yeah.
It's not enough for him to lose his job. They don't like him for two reasons. One, of course, is Brexit, because they're all Remainer fanatics.
Yeah.
And they'll never forgive him for Brexit, for getting that over the line. And two, they're jealous of him, because he's effortlessly popular.
Yeah.
He's got the common touch. People like him.
But whenever you
and they know who he is. How many people know who the fuck's on the Privileges Committee?
No, exactly. But this is the thing. They can't stand the fact that he actually appeals to ordinary people.
Exactly.
Whether you like him or not.
Exactly.
I don't care whether he's a nice bloke. I could not give a fuck, right? He probably isn't. But most of them are not.
Seems like an A-grade cunt,
yeah,
doesn't he, actually?
But most of them are. But they just make out that they're not. Whereas he doesn't give a fuck that you think he is, you know.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that they've never forgiven him. And they used to say the lefties and the Ramonas would go, oh, yeah, but, you know, and he's never been punished for that. And you go, well, he lost his job, so he's not the Prime Minister anymore. Yeah. And in that world, that's a big job to lose, isn't it?
But that wasn't enough for them.
No.
You know, he lost his job, the job he wanted his whole life.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that kind of ambition. Mm. And he has to step down from that. And that wasn't enough.
Mm.
They have to kick his fucking head in for the same offence. You know, a couple of drinks during lockdowns. Nobody approves of that. Nobody condones what went on in Downing Street. Johnson's a fucking idiot for letting it happen.
Yeah.
However,
he wasn't there for most
however,
of it,
not the crime of the fucking century. He doesn't deserve this.
Well, I think I'd rather have Rishi Sunak locked up for giving $4.5 billion away to some people who didn't have a fucking company the day before they claimed it, and they all got free fucking money and have now fucked off with it.
Yeah.
And we'll never see them again. Yeah. That is actually a crime.
Yeah, I've got a number for you, Rishi. 616. 616. That's how many migrants came across the English Channel on fucking Sunday. Stop the boats.
On.
You haven't stopped fuck all.
Stop the bollocks.
He hasn't fucking stopped anything, has he?
He hasn't. He's not going to stop anything either. Because now that the wind has changed, I think he's going to find that lie about how we've stopped more than taken 20% off the fucking total figure is all bollocks.
Wait, but I mean, literally 4 days after he said, my plan is working, my 5-point plan.
Yeah, no,
it is working.
It's not.
Is working. 4 days later, 616 come across. It's not fucking working.
No, exactly right. They're never going to stop coming because why would you? As you fucking know, you can come here and get a decent fucking hotel, a decent fucking amount of money to live off, and some free food.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you fucking come? And good Wi-Fi, yeah. And
yeah,
if you don't like the fucking room, you can ask for a better one. I want a fucking upgrade.
Get
please.
A pay rise.
Have a suite.
10%
can
pay rise.
Can have a suite. It's absolutely fucking unbelievable.
But to go back to Johnson, by the way, I mean, at the heart of this, the trigger for this tumultuous row between him and Rishi, is this ludicrous system where prime ministers, party leaders, former ministers get this patronage, you know, to nominate people to go to the House of Twats. And, you know, it's absurd. Now, they shouldn't be allowed to nominate anyone because this system is institutionalised corruption. It's like, listen, mate, you vote for me on this one and I'll look after you. I'll get you a peerage in my resignation.
Yeah.
That's how it works and it has to fucking stop. Now,
they might as well do away with it all, mind
them. Well, that's what I think they should do. That it's bad enough that it happens, but when you get some cunt like Boris Johnson comes along and says, I've got 52 people.
Yeah.
50 fucking
two. Including his dad.
Piss off, including his fucking dad. And someone said the only surprise is he didn't nominate himself for
the
peerage.
Well, he probably should have. He probably would have done if he'd been able to, right?
And by the way, then Grant Shapps goes on the BBC at the weekend and said, well, you know, they're having a go at Boris for nominating more than 50 people for honours. Well, Gordon Brown's resignation list was way over 50.
Yeah.
Way over 50 from all parties.
But they gave it a different name, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. They go, well, that's wrong. It wasn't a resignation list. It was a dissolution list. Fuck off.
I mean,
fuck off. What do you think we are?
Saying,
fucking idiots.
As they say in Scotland, you think my head zips up the back.
Exactly.
You know, fucking morons.
But you see,
it's the same thing.
But he's and Brown is as guilty as Johnson of abusing the system of patronage that we must abolish. Must abolish.
I mean, the only thing that amazes me is that nobody has so far elevated either Gordon Brown or fucking Tony Blair to the House of Lords. How has that managed to be prevented? Because somebody must have tried to get them in there. I can't believe that Blair wouldn't want to be my Lord Blair.
He'd quite like it. In fairness to Brown, I mean, you'd have thought he might have got a knighthood by now. I think Brown's
weird.
Brown is still at heart an old school socialist
who
doesn't want a title, unlike Keir Starmer.
Yeah,
sir,
he's already Sir Keir Starmer.
Keir Starmer. Yeah.
So, Kevin, this podcast is brought to us by NordVPN, which is a new subscriber to us, a new advertiser for us as well. So here at the Thought Police, we're very happy about that. And NordVPN is something that an awful lot of people are beginning to learn about. A VPN basically means you can have your own private network. It means you can basically go anywhere in the world and nobody knows exactly where you are. It's a much better, secure way to use the internet. You can take it anywhere you like. It means nobody can track you. It means that when you are actually surfing on the net, you can say that you're not where you are, because sometimes that's where people start using you for phishing expeditions. And NordVPN is basically a way of protecting yourself from all of those kinds of security threats, your phone getting hacked, your numbers getting hacked, your emails getting hacked and all of that. It's really easy to use with one click, or enable auto connect for zero click protection. That's how you can connect. It's got 5,700 plus servers in 60 different countries. If you find a server near you, you can get a better speed, you get a higher speed. You can sometimes get better travel deals because you can apply for the deal that you're getting from a different place from where you actually are. So I've tried it, and my kids have all tried it as well. They love it, because if you're bored and you've fed up with all the stuff that you've seen on various different channels, whether it's Netflix, whether it's Disney, whether it's Amazon, you know, you can basically re-associate yourself, and you can move yourself to America where you can perfectly legally download shows and watch shows from there, which aren't even available here. So that's a really, really big plus for getting a VPN. And what does it do? It basically acts as a secure relay between your device and the internet. So a VPN, a virtual private network, is integral to your security and privacy online. Online traffic between you and our VPN service is encrypted, shielding your online activities from prying eyes. Websites and services only see the VPN server's IP address, hiding your virtual location. So remember, all you got to do is think of the Thought Police, and this is easy. You go to nordvpn.com/thoughtpolice and enjoy.
Brilliant.
Sir twat.
Oh, fucking hell. What a nerd. Fucking idiot. Speaking of idiots, right, Sadiq Khan is back in the news. The story in the papers today, he's banned people working at the London Assembly from using the phrase men and women, right? And also, you're not allowed to refer to illegal migrants anymore. You know what they're going to call them?
What?
People with insecure immigration status. Oh. Or, simply, if you like one word, undocumented.
Huh? Oh, God, fucking can't.
I mean, what is going on?
I've got no words about that. Fuck, I'm just sick of him. He's the biggest fucking prick who ever drew breath.
With insecure immigration status.
Just fuck off, you little...
Avoid dwarf. Using men and women. Say people or Londoners. Similarly, instead of ladies and gentlemen, say something that doesn't exclude non-binary people.
Oh, God, I mean, you know...
Do fuck off.
It's just ridiculous. He's fucking ruined this city. The interesting thing is, though, that ULEZ, which is now spreading across the country like the plague, it's not just London, like COVID. We've got a ULEZ crisis, put a mask on.
Made a lot of money.
But they're saying, people are so fucking furious about this, that Starmer is in a rage, because it actually looks as if ULEZ carries on like this, Labour will be blamed and they'll lose the fucking election.
It's true. But you see how much money they made in London?
I know.
224 million
last
year. And most of it, a third of it, was for fucking penalty charge notices to people who didn't know there to pay it. So people being fined for driving in a place that they didn't know they had to fucking pay to drive in.
But ULEZ might turn out to be Keir Starmer's kryptonite.
Yeah,
you know, that you'd be surprised. Millions and millions of motorists saying, hang on a second, you're charging me 12 quid for fucking journeys that I used to get for free.
Yeah.
You're banning me from driving 1 mile up to the shops.
Well, and a lot of people are getting caught in a scam as well, because you pay what you think is the fine, but there's a couple of sites that come up. If you go into the ULEZ server or whatever it is, you get a couple of choices. And if you're not paying attention, same as the old American visas waiver program, there are a couple of sites which are not official.
Yeah.
So you have to really check and be careful that you haven't paid the wrong fucking people, because then you'd be paying twice and you'll get another fine. And in Glasgow, they've got an even worse system, right? Where you basically can't buy your way in if you have got a car which is uncompliant. If you drive in, you get fined. That's it. £60. You can't actually just pay like eight.
That's
quid
right. No, Glasgow.
So in Glasgow, you basically get done if you drive into the zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Effectively banning people from driving into the zone.
Luckily, no one can afford a car in Glasgow, so that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's true.
But apart from that, no, it's going to be.
You'll upset all your Scottish fans.
It's just a joke, everyone.
Yeah.
Just a joke.
He's only joking.
It's a bit like your former First Minister.
Just remember
Nicola Sturgeon.
Yes.
Fucking got a collar phone.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I mean, I have to say, I was sitting around. So there she goes. Here she comes. She's got the blue lights following her again. The old, I was sitting around, it must have been Sunday afternoon, and that fucking news broke, and I just burst out laughing.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't stop because you'd been waiting for it for so long. Yeah. And I don't understand why it took them so long. The police, of course, like all police, are now saying, you mustn't discuss this, you mustn't talk about it, there are contempt of court rules in place. Well, I'm sorry, you've arrested the former First Minister of Scotland for the first time.
Fuck yourself.
Somebody put out a great tweet the other day saying that this is the first time an SNP politician has been arrested since April. Because
that's a record.
I know, because that was the first time they'd arrested somebody since the week before.
Well, the Scottish,
because now the top three people in the SNP have now all been quizzed by the police.
Well, the Scottish police can go fuck themselves. It's perfectly legal to say what happened, and that was on Sunday morning around about 10 a.m. Nicola Sturgeon presented herself at a police station by arrangement, where she was arrested and then interrogated for 7 hours, released without charge, but remains under investigation as does her husband.
But all these
Peter
bozos
Murrell,
on Twitter,
and also Colin Beattie.
All these fucking bozos on Twitter were going, because I
you
sort of put
it perfectly
out,
legal.
We're like, why haven't you said that she's been released without charge? As if that's the end of it. Well, it's clearly not the fucking end of it, is it?
To say released
she was
without
there for
charge.
8 hours. What do you think they were talking about? The fucking way, the best way to cook a haggis.
Look. I'm not casting any aspersions.
Me
about
neither.
What happened with Nicola Sturgeon or Peter Murrell or Colin Beattie, the former SNP?
They've obviously done nothing
treasurer,
wrong.
But they all spent 7 or 8 hours being interrogated, and it's very, very rare for a long police interrogation at the end of that for them to go, right, we're now charging you, because what they then do is process what was said in that interview.
Right.
So we don't know if there are any charges to come, but a person being released after 7 hours an interview by the police and without charge is not particularly significant.
No.
She really remains under investigation for the missing £660,000.
And so does the SNP. And what's even funnier is that Humza Useless has refused to fucking suspend Nicola Sturgeon, even though her own MPs in the SNP have actually called for her to be suspended. And people have said she would actually, if she was in charge of the SNP, she would have suspended herself. Because there's about six SNP MPs that have been suspended for a lot less. None of whom were actually arrested by the police.
By normal convention.
Shouldn't she step down?
She should step down, but they've got a halo complex, haven't they? They think they're perfectly... I know in my heart I've done nothing wrong. Well, maybe she hasn't. But I want to know about the motorhome, the £110,000 motorhome.
Well, nobody knows anything about that.
Parked outside Peter Murrell's mother's house on a Glasgow council estate for about a year.
Right.
And that was now seized by the fucking police.
Yeah, it was... nobody noticed it because it's quite a small motorhome, right? No, it's fucking huge.
It's huge. I mean,
what's that thing doing on your driveway? I don't know. What is it? It's a fucking motorhome. Christ, how did that get there? I don't know. Fucking just woke up and there it was.
Well, it's owned by the SNP. Why?
Apparently it's a campaign battle,
battle bus. Yeah.
Even though it's not a bus.
Yeah. Where should we put it? Let's put it outside Peter's Murrell's mum's house on a council estate. That'd be normal. Let's do that.
That would be.
Anyway, that investigation continues. It's perfectly valid to say.
I mean, the police do take a fucking age to do everything, don't they?
Yeah, but
they never do anything quickly.
Think about it. 7 hours of questions. You're interviewed for 7 hours by the cops. They're in the process of an investigation. They're not going to go, right, that's been an interesting 7 hours. We're going to charge you. Well, they don't. It doesn't go like that.
It sometimes does, but I mean,
pretty rarely.
Not in every case. But the point is that if you think of 7 hours sitting in a chair, I mean, maybe they had a couple of breaks, but it's a fucking long time. That
I know.
I mean, I do a 3-hour radio show. If you had to do two of those plus an extra hour with one person talking about one thing, That's pretty fucking...
I've done it. I've been in the fucking police station for 7 hours. Takes a long time.
Something you watched to confess?
I was released I was released without charge.
Absolutely right. Listen, talking about investigation, what about the beginning of the COVID inquiry, which kicks off this week, where they admitted that they were going to invite 17 members of Independent Siege. So you know where that's fucking going.
Yeah.
Who are all going to say, oh yes, we definitely did the right thing. In fact, the only thing we could have done better was to lock down even longer and even harder and got more people to fucking do nothing during the 2 year period that we were telling them all to fucking stay still.
Yeah, you know, you can take that inquiry and you poke it up your fucking arse. Yeah. It's a waste of time. Baroness Hallett, who's running it, she said, you know, we have to give the people of Britain the COVID inquiry they deserve. So what did we learn today as it started? That everybody who goes into that inquiry has to provide proof of a COVID test.
Fuck off.
I mean,
when was it?
1 year ago, all requirement of proof of COVID negativity was abolished in this country. So why has it been reinstigated in the COVID inquiry? Are they trying to sort of like act like it's still a big problem or something?
Well, it tells you what their attitude is about COVID, doesn't it? Because those of us who would not take a test, if I was called before that committee, I'd go, well, I'll tell you what, guys, I'm not fucking coming.
It's not what you know.
But I'll do it on Zoom for you if you like. But I won't be taking any fucking COVID test, thank you very
much indeed.
Absolute bullshit. But it shows you what their mindset is. It shows you that they want to fucking hear from the injured, the people who lost loved ones. All of that's going to take years and fucking years for them all to have their story read out. And I'm sorry that they lost loved ones, but, you know, their story isn't going to help the fucking COVID inquiry.
Yeah.
It might help them, but that's not what we're doing.
And as I understand it, the parameters do not allow this inquiry to look into whether or not there should ever have been lockdowns. That's the question that everybody wants answered. I mean, it's pretty obvious what the fucking answer is no, there fucking shouldn't have been lockdowns. No. They were a waste of time and they didn't work. But the COVID inquiry won't be looking into that.
No, because they don't believe that. They believe they did the right thing.
They saved lives.
And all the science suggests that we were right. Well, it doesn't actually. One, there isn't any fucking science. Two, any science you do have, you fucking made up. Three, it was all for that cunt Neil Ferguson.
I think we should...
He spent most of his time banging the arse off that German model. That wasn't the only fucking modelling
model?
He was doing.
She was some old bloody housewife with three
model,
kids
apparently.
Or something.
Well, she was married, yeah.
Did you see her?
She looks
what was
right.
She a model for? For the back end of buses?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Yeah,
you said the old Ferguson. He gets
she
the bird
in,
he deserves.
She was in an open marriage, apparently.
Yeah, husband. By the husband's request.
Husband was blind.
Why don't you go, why don't you go and fuck someone else? I don't want to do it anymore.
All right, Neil.
Neil, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm gonna fuck my wife. Please, I'm begging you.
Somebody's got to give a good seeing to. Jesus Christ. Shall we give an honourable mention to the Prince Harry, who's now departed these shores after what can only be described as a stunning performance in front of a judge.
See, I think
where
I mentioned...
he mostly answered the questions, do you think your phone was hacked, by saying, I don't know.
Yeah, 18 times in one day, interspersed with a lot of I don't remember. The key phrase, I might have mentioned this last week, so the judge is called Tim Fancourt or something.
Can't remember.
Fancourt, I think his name is. And, of course, the Mirror Group's lawyer, their KC is called Andrew Green. Andrew Green, after running Harry through 33 stories that he says were obtained illegally by illegal methods, said to Prince Harry, do you have any evidence at all in any of these stories, that any of these stories were obtained illegally? No. Any single piece of evidence on any of these stories? No. That's no.
The end.
No. Better than this. He went, no. That's why I'm here. Hey. Right. What the fuck does that mean?
Do you know
mean?
What I think? I think he's been taken for a fucking very nice,
long, too many drugs.
And very expensive ride by that bloke David Sherborne, the barrister, who could have said to him, you know, here's the thing. It's going to be very expensive for you to do this, to take this action against a newspaper. It won't be very pleasant to be on the stand being questioned by their barrister. Are you really sure you want to do it? Now, he might have had that conversation with him, but if it had been me, I think I'd have persuaded him not to do it.
I think
would have said, look, I don't think it's worth it.
I think, to be fair to Sherborne, you know, that Harry told this story in court, that they bumped into each other in France and had this long conversation. I think, to be fair to Sherborne, he would have said, I'd be very surprised if you just said, listen, this is going to be an uphill struggle. If you don't have any evidence, this is going to be difficult. But perhaps Harry decided, well, it's worth a couple of million quid of my money to emote on the stand, you know, and to tell my truth. Yeah. But I think it is going to be the court case where Harry and Meghan's truth clashes with the truth,
yeah,
and they're going to be found wanting. I think it's an extraordinary case.
Yeah.
By the way, so this morass of lack of recall, can't remember, yeah. Don't know, can't remember.
Maybe he's right though, maybe he can't remember.
He had one shining moment where suddenly he had perfect recall, and that was a story that when he was in the army in 2006, he went to the Spearmint Rhyme strip club.
And remembers what the girl looked like.
Yeah, so he had a stripper, lap dancer, cavorting on his midriff. And the papers said that she looked like Chelsea Davey. Mm. And so that was his then girlfriend, and Chelsea went mad. So when they said the papers reported that this lap dancer was cavorting, looked like Chelsea Davey. That is factually incorrect! So he suddenly remembered that the lap dancer didn't.
Well, I mean, maybe he would remember that.
But you know, do you know what I mean? Suddenly he's got this clear.
But the whole thing was like some pantomime of nonsense.
I know.
It was a great piece.
What a ridiculous story,
like,
anyway.
Camilla Long in the Sunday Times this week, who said, you know, we all get the royal families we deserve, I suppose.
Yes.
She said, we've ended up with Love Island's version of Henry VIII.
Yes, exactly.
Which is a great way of
fucking
describing
great it. Way of putting,
you know,
it.
It's all about how I feel. It's not about what happened to me, but I don't feel good about it. I don't feel nice.
Yeah.
I feel as if somebody's done something wrong and I'm the victim.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's everybody else's fault. Nothing is his fault. He's never done anything to bring fucking ordure on himself. I mean, even dressing up as a fucking Nazi apparently wasn't his fault. He blamed all that on William.
Yeah.
And he told me to do it.
But he came
That'd
across...
That'd be great, wouldn't it? William fucking stitched him right up there.
Where's Megan?
Yeah, well,
she's steering well out of it.
I think she's on the hunt for a new husband already.
I wouldn't be surprised. But, I mean, he came across in the dock, because Andrew Green, the KC for the Mirror, kept saying, well, you got any details? Mm. Not that's my legal team. It was as if the details were beneath him. He just came in to make a statement and expect the court to prove it.
Mm.
I mean, he expects the court to somehow... He seems to think that a courtroom is a place you come when you've got no evidence to prove a case, so that you can persuade the court to say, well,
but this
on
is why,
balance,
but,
yeah.
But this is why I can't believe that he hasn't been led down the garden path by the lawyers, because the lawyers should have told him, you know, because they will always tell you what your chances are. And if they reckon you've got 50-50, unless you've got so much money that you don't fucking care, why would you do it?
Well, we know Harry. I mean, as I say, I think in fairness to Sherborne, he would have warned Harry this was going to be a difficult case. Harry's got more money than sense, yeah. Literally.
Well, he's got more of everything than sense.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't got any fucking sense. He's got negative sense.
Very strange performance, very strange.
He's just obviously a very troubled
individual. He is. I feel slightly sorry for him.
That in the end will probably have to stop fucking around with, because he's actually not all there.
Yeah,
you know, he's fucking gone.
And he's tortured by the fact that the media portray him as the thicko. Well, I'll tell you why I'll tell you why they do that, Harry. It's because you're fucking thick.
Also, you know, they portrayed me as the playboy prince. Yeah, well, that would be because you were cavorting naked in a fucking hotel room with a load of strippers in Las Vegas playing naked pool.
Yeah, and that's when we liked you.
Yeah, yeah. He was good then. But I mean, what's wrong with being called the Playboy Prince? What's nothing to fucking nothing to be right home about if you do that? But we should end on one final thought, which is that I got some very stupid people very wound up at the weekend, because when Manchester City won the Champions League, if you saw my tweet, I just said, "What a fantastic win for Manchester City! I'm so proud."
Oh yeah, I saw your tweet. Yeah,
I'm so proud of Manchester. What a fantastic win for Britain. And for our country,
I think we should
celebrate what's great about Britain. And people went fucking apeshit. It's not British, it's fucking owned by Abu Dhabi, you fucking twat, wanker. None of the fucking players are English, two of them in the starting lineup. People take it so seriously. Well, hilarious.
Loath as I am to praise Manchester City, they are... I mean, I do secretly quite like watching them win, because they're
relentless.
I think they might be the greatest team.
The greatest team I've ever seen. You know what I actually quite object to is the old established so-called big teams like Manchester United and Liverpool saying, oh, they just bought their way to the top of the league. Well, fucking, there was a long time ago when football wasn't about money, and it was probably when I was about 10 years old, right? And those big teams have always bought their way to the fucking top. Manchester United did it.
Oh, yeah.
Liverpool Look, did it. Chelsea did it.
Of course they did. It's the way now. And if you haven't got Russian or Arab money
or American money.
You won't make it.
But don't you think it's hypocritical to go on and on about how Manchester City have just bought it? Because everybody else has.
I'll tell you the main thing they bought was Pep Guardiola. An amazing manager. He's got billions to play with, but then the tough task starts, and he's an amazing manager, and he's an amazing team.
Yeah,
and secretly approve of your tweet. Yeah. My tweet was this morning. Any chance of a few more pictures of Jack Grealish celebrating Man City's treble? Haven't seen nearly enough. Every fucking paper full of Jack Grealish. Pissed as a rat.
People quite like Jack Grealish, though. I suppose that's why they're doing it, because they must think people are going to buy the paper.
But, good player.
I mean, I can't be fucking arsed, really, to be honest. Fucking, good luck to him. Have a nice Brummy. Fucking summer.
Typical Aston Villa reject.
I know. Anyway, there we are. So,
we'll be convening next week.
We will be convening next week. In the meantime...
go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
Get your NordVPN gear on, and we'll see how we go.
Yeah.
Next time. Oh yeah, Dave Johnson as well. Suitablechoices.co.uk. Don't forget, if you need any mortgage
help, good old Dave. Yep.
You definitely want to go and face him and get what you need. He's got everything.
Okay.
All right. Bollocks.
Fuck. We'll be right back.